Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from Beijing, where I'm here with Richard Bistrong. Richard is the CEO and founder of Frontline Anti-Bribery and by chance was presenting here at the same conference that I am. Richard, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Adam, it's a long way from Las Vegas, but it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, it is funny. We usually do see each other there at the annual meeting. So what we thought we would do today is talk a bit about what your experiences are as you do workforce training and compliance. There's a lot of web-based training and a lot of web-based providers. You do face-to-face training on specifically FCPA and anti-corruption issues. And that gives you a good window on sort of the state of the workforce around business as a whole as to what they're struggling with, what they get, what they don't. Overall, would you say that, for example, do you feel as if they understand what the law at least says, or are there still a lot of people out there who didn't even know you couldn't pay bribes?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Adam. And I think at least now we are at the point where the criminal law lens from which a lot of our compliance programs initially started from, well, that's been pretty well established. So I'm not finding any sort of workforce group saying we don't really understand the law or it hasn't been explained to us well enough. So I think we're past the sort of the criminal legal side of this.
So then I'm taking it from that the struggle isn't so much that, but is, okay, what am I supposed to do given where I work?
That's right, Adam. I think we've gone from, okay, how do we have a defensible compliance program to now how do we have one that inspires, that makes sense to the workforce, to their tasks at hand. So I think that's a very positive sign of the evolution of the function, where now the discussions around how do we make this work for you? How do we make this as a partner and an inspiring partner to your commercial success?
And so when you're standing in front of the room talking to groups of salespeople, marketing people, whatever, what is their response? Where are they having struggles today?
So, yeah, let's talk about the three groups, because we've got the workforce or the commercial teams, then we've got the compliance teams, but also, Adam, there's the leadership teams, right? The P&L owners, the folks that are driving the business. What I still often hear from the commercial side is compliance, they don't know what I'm up against, right? That the feeling is, you know, if I don't do this, someone else will, and if we can't, we're going to lose the business. That's a challenge that I continually hear. Now, the good news is I'm hearing compliance leaders saying, you know what? No one understands risk better than the people who work in the middle of it. So you're right. We don't understand, and we don't always know everything you're up against. But we'll show a little vulnerability here if you'll tell us about it, if you'll share those real-world risks that you face. We can all lean in as a team so that what we all want to happen on the front lines of operations actually happens. So tell us what those risks are, and we'll try to work with you to get you the support that you need to succeed commercially in the right way. So these courageous conversations are making the difficult the discussable. Now these are starting to happen.
Well, and that raises a good point, which is that if you're a compliance officer, you shouldn't look at compliance training, especially the live stuff where you've got bodies in the room, as a chance for you to tell them something. It's a chance for you to tell them something and then also to listen to what they have to say and to help better inform what your decisions are going to be. Because truthfully, a risk assessment drawn up in a conference room, once it meets the workforce's issues, starts to have to evolve based on when they say, well, that was great when you were sitting in headquarters thinking about it, but I just started selling in Stanistan, and this is what's going on there.
I've heard it called servant leadership, where instead of compliance saying, this is what you need to do, it's tell us what we can do to help you. And I think, again, that's a very positive sign of we need to make sure that we're always calibrating and recalibrating our programs to the risk that you face. Mm. And as we know, we live in this very dynamic world. Right here in China, look at the changes that have happened in the past 5 years. So this is not a one and done exercise.
Yeah, and apropos that, I mean, for those of you listening, one of the things that kept coming up over and over again is things like even like third-party vetting. You never should stop vetting your third parties, places like this where things change so much. Now, we talked about the business teams. You started talking about leadership. What are you hearing when you talk to leadership about these issues?
So that's the biggest shift that I've seen. And I don't want to overstate it, but I think this is a little bit seismic. I think this is really dramatic in our field. Is we see compliance leaders saying, okay, maybe now we have that defensible program. Maybe we've got a good training system. We're always changing it up. But how do I get my business leaders, my P&L owners, to take this as seriously as I do? Because from someone who worked as a sales leader for 20 years, ethics and compliance coming only out of the voice of the compliance department, Adam, to me that sounds like a support function. But when ethics and integrity are coming out of the voice of business, out of the daily corporate narrative, well, that sounds like this is how we do business. That it's anchored and intertwined to operations. So a lot of the discussions now are between compliance leaders and their business peers to say, this needs to come out of your voice. We might have a wonderful program, but if it's not coming through your narrative, it's just sounding like a support function. And now I'm seeing business leaders saying, okay, what do I need to do? How do I help, you know, guide the program? How do we make sure that we're always talking about that we care how our folks are getting business done?
And have you seen anything or heard anything that leaders have been doing that's been particularly more effective in terms of supporting the client, the compliance message?
Well, one of the things that they're doing is they're making a compliance or the compliance program part of their business leadership meetings. So Adam, I go around the world and I speak at these leadership meetings where you may have the C-suite, support vice presidents, and maybe direct reports under those. And it might be a 2 or 3 day meeting, and I see now compliance and ethics issues becoming a much greater part of the agenda, and it's not getting introduced by the chief compliance officer. I'm seeing the CEO talk about it. Now that sends a very loud and yet unspoken message of this is how we get things done around here.
Yeah, no, it's far better if it's part of the natural dialogue of what leadership talks about than if it's something that you take a break for, you know, to do as something sort of on the side. So one other question, as you were talking, now you mentioned as you go around the world and you talk to people, some people say it's the same everywhere. Others say, no, you got to use different language in different parts of the world. People don't get it. I mean, certainly, you know, spending 3 days as we have here in China, you hear about the idiosyncratic issues that folks have here. Do you find messages have a much greater impact in some countries and areas than others? Or are you finding overall that there is just a general attitude towards compliance issues and what someone who wants to advocate for compliance should be saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think the themes are global. Don't bribe is a global theme, right? Ethics and integrity are global themes. But I'm seeing regional execution, right? So the language that you use and also the way you're delivering those messages, yes, it has to be culturally sensitive and calibrated to what those risks are. I mean, Adam, corruption in the Middle East looked to me a lot different than corruption in South America. So to have a program that doesn't give tools to your commercial teams that are relative to those risks, well, if you're going for a one-size-fits-all model, there's going to be a lot of risk that falls between those cultural gaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's great. And certainly, you've seen it from all sides, being the one involved in the corruption and the one now trying to discourage corruption. Well, Richard, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.
Thank you.